Welcome to the Country Confidential Podcast. Our goal is to learn new things about the people behind the music and the artists who make it. If you love country music, you're going to love the Country Confidential Podcast. Here's your host, Shiloh Bellis.
Joining us right now on the Country Confidential Podcast, Aaron Goodvin, coming off another number one song with Boy Like Me. Aaron, how many number ones is that now?
It's the second number one.
Okay. But I got to tell you, it is just amazing what this song has done. And I think you played it. I'm trying to remember. I think you might have played that on one of your early pandemic concerts that you were doing. Remember when you were like getting everyone to watch you on Facebook? I'm pretty sure I saw that song first on one of those.
Yeah, it probably was. And we were probably, we were right in the thick of, you know, recording that record in the middle of all that. So I'm sure I was teasing it somehow.
Yeah, I maybe I'm wrong, but I remember thinking that, man, that's such a cool song. When a song, because you're involved in not only the songs that you put out, but also you write a ton too. But when you finish a song like that, do you know, when you walk out of a room, after you record it, like, is there a feeling that that song is going to do well? Or are you just not convinced sometimes? And then all of a sudden it surprises you.
Well, it's, I don't know. It's like every song is different. And like, you know, I think, you know, me as a writer, I try to, my goal always when I go in and write a song is to write the best song, you know, in the room and write the hook as best as I possibly can. It's really hard to get songs through the cracks to other artists. So, you know, I believe that, you know, if I stay true to, you know, what the hook is, as opposed to like writing a song for someone, you know, and I want to be recognized, you know, as a as a writer that makes really great songs, you know, and then that's why they kind of crack through, as opposed to like writing a song for someone. So the first thing for me is like, you know, when that hook kind of showed up in the room, I think we were writing another song, I can't remember, and that hook had showed up, and I was like, okay, we got to write that. And, excuse me. And, so, you know, it's, that song in particular was, you know, when we wrote, I think we wrote it before the pandemic, I believe. So it was kicking around there for a little while, before I started looking at recording it. And, you know, kind of the process behind me finding a song like that to record is like in my own catalog is like, I've kind of got to go through. I mean, I started with like 120 songs or something to cut seven of them. And so what I did is cause I write so much that I just kind of went through every song that, you know, I thought would, you know, be close, and then just started weeding out what I wanted to say basically. And, kind of getting rid of the ones that didn't really feel like me. And, or, you know, hey, I wouldn't say that, or I really don't want to sing about that or whatever. And, you know, and then it kind of narrows down from there, but, you know, Boy Like Me kind of really stuck out as definitely like a contender for the record. And then, like it was high on the list, like right from the get go. So,
has there ever been a song that somebody else wanted of yours and you didn't give it up? Or has there been a song that you gave up that you're like, man, maybe I should have cut that song?
Yeah, it's always a tough thing. I guess for me, like I often joke that I've made a heck of a career of songs that nobody else cut. so it's like my whole process behind that is like, I think there's certain things that happen, you know, is just getting these songs like heard by everyone, you know. And if there's an artist that comes along who's more passionate than I could ever be about something that I've written, it really doesn't feel like it would be mine anymore, you know. And so, you know, like that being said, there are a few songs that, you know, we kind of tried to keep under our hat a little bit, you know, without showing too many people that we have it. But, you know, I think that comes with like, you know, as we continue to make records, and there's just obvious songs that kind of stick out. But there really hasn't been a song that I wasn't scared to play somebody, and if they freaked out about it, you know, and wanted to pitch it or wanted to do whatever, then I usually give them the green light to do that, just because, you know, one of my heroes is Bobby Pinson, is a songwriter. And one of the first times I met him and we chatted, he was like, God's going to put your songs where they go. And I always kind of remembered that. So I think, like, for me, it's just like, hey, just let everybody hear it and see where their, you know, thoughts go with it. And then, you know, if this song is still around, by the time I go to cut, then it was meant to be mine.
That's so cool. I don't want to start any controversy, but there isn't enough of it in Canadian country music. Everyone gets along. Everyone loves everybody. But Aaron Pritchett called you out for being the only one that's shorter than him in Canadian country music. So I just,
he would,
he did. He, I know, right here on the podcast. That's what he said a couple weeks ago.
I love it. That's so great. We talk about it all the time. I see, this is why I picked a profession where, everybody else that's looking at me has to look up at me.
They have no choice. See,
they have no choice. They, I was like, you know, and if there's no stage in a place, I'm like, no, I'm not playing. You know, I don't want to show my height.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do a sit down show so that no one knows. Yes. And someone's going to wheel me out, because I don't want to walk into the room either. I want just one of those office chairs. That's
Man. It's so funny, man. Like, you know, I can't count the number of times that people are like, man, I thought you'd be taller.
Oh, yeah. You probably never want to go and hang out with, like, Blake Shelton on stage. Like, that might be a dude. Or dude, any of the Brothers Osborne, you know?
Oh, any of the, I'm not going to lie. Like, tall people freak me out. Like, it is hard for me to just, you know, my wife works with an artist, Matt Stell, and I think he's like 6'8" or something. Super sweet guy. And as long as we're sitting down, I can probably be his best friend. But if we have to stand up anywhere, I don't know what it is. I've just never been like super comfortable around tall people. You know, Blake's another one. Like, I met Blake, the CCMAs a few years ago, and, got, I think that was the year that Warner gave me I think it was a gold record for Lonely Drum. About the same time they were giving him his, like, whatever, 20 number ones in a row in Canada or whatever. So I got a chance to, like, chat with him, and I'm like, I just immediately feel like I just towered over, and I don't know. I just kind of like, you know, I just kind of like, I don't want to be in this place, you know? So, yeah. So it's definitely a tough thing, you know?
What does your wife do with Matt Stell? I don't know much about your wife. I mean, she's very patient and very, very, you know, saintly, because she puts up with you. I that's about all I know.
Oh, I know. And still stars in like every video that we make. we often joke about how Warner needs to start paying her to be in these videos, but.
That's okay. She probably gets paid, right? She's like, yeah, you know, he's taking me out to dinner after or something. So,
right. Well, and yeah, absolutely. now she's a publisher in town, so she's works with songwriters and she works for a company called Wide Open Music that is run by Ash Bowers. Ash manages Jimmy Allen and Matt Stell, and then they've got new artists, George Burge and Martin McDaniel. And she basically, you know, handles all their calendars and pitches their songs.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
That type of stuff. So, you know, she's very busy. She's got a lot of writers she's got to take care of. And she also kind of co-manages an artist named Maddie Larkin alongside Ash and all that stuff. So she's very busy. But she's great. She's a great song person. It's nice to be married to somebody who, you know, really understands songs and and why they work and all that good stuff. So it helps me a lot too, you know, when I'm stuck on something. So.
Are you watching Dancing with the Stars with Jimmy Allen? Just wondering.
Like, no.
Can, no, me either. Me either. I'm watching to see how he does, you know. But.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting, but I just have a hard time with those shows in general, and I'm definitely not a dancer. So
I read a thing this week that said that like things that people pretend to like in front of other people but don't, and those shows are on it, like The Voice and Dancing with the Stars. People, oh yeah, you know, I don't, but you and I don't even pretend. No, that's not.
No, we don't pretend at all. No.
What are you watching these days? Do you have time? I mean, you're home, I guess, more now than you were.
Oh, right? Man. The last thing that we've been watching a ton of these, like, cult documentaries.
Yeah.
It's just like,
do you need help?
One, I can't remember what it's called. But there was one that's, that like literally in Brentwood, like Tennessee, like we drove by the church the other day. I'm going to have to look up what it's called. Anyway, just look for the lady on the big hair with the giant hair on.
Lady, you know, with the giant hair. Okay.
She literally has hair up to the ceiling. But anyway, their plane crashed and they all died. And that's kind of how the story starts. And then it starts telling the whole thing about, you know, how it was basically a church where that she started that, you know, God had put this thing on her heart to tell people how to lose weight. And it's like, when you're hungry, just pray about it. Like, it was like literally like that. And it just started this whole thing, and then it just got out of control. But
see, I'd be terrible at that one, because I would pray about being hungry, but I would pray for a Big Mac or something. Like, that would just be, man. Yeah. Could you send me a chocolate bar? You know, is.
I love it. But yeah, so we get into those, and then I started watching Big Sky.
I've heard that's great.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't even know where I'm at. I'm about 10 episodes in or something. But yeah, it's a really good show. And yeah, and that's about it. I mean, during the pandemic, I watched all of Game of Thrones. Started it and finished it, which tells you how much time I have.
That's a show that I have never watched an episode of, and it's sort of on my list that I will eventually. But I also hear it's confusing because there's a lot of characters, and I don't know if
there is a lot of characters. Literally, we talked about this last night at dinner. There's a lot of characters, and the people who like. Need to understand something, mm-hmm. Can't watch it.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't think I want to watch a show where I have to have the Memos app open on my phone so I can make notes about what's
right.
going, you know, I don't, that's not a thing
like
for me.
Who's connected to this and who's that? But I'm not really like that. So, and my wife wouldn't watch it with me. She's like, it's just too much. It's too gory and all that stuff. And so she would be watching like The Nanny on her side of the bed, yeah. And I'd be on my iPad watching Game of Thrones. And I made it through the whole thing. And like, if you push through, you can kind of pick up later who everybody is.
Okay,
but if you like absolutely need to know, like it is very. You'd be very confused.
My wife might not like the goriness of it, but she would really hate me asking her every 10 seconds. Okay, who's that? Because I am that guy. Okay, so how do we know that guy? Okay, now where did that? So yeah, she probably would never watch that show with me. I love that you mentioned The Nanny. We actually just started watching that on Prime a few weeks ago. It's still pretty funny. I didn't watch it much when I was younger, but it's still pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's she'll throw it on in the background. You know, when Friends isn't on. I feel like Friends is always on in our house.
I was literally watching Friends when you called me. I literally was I was taking a break and I came out and it was on and I was like, oh, Friends, and then I kind of got sucked in. You know,
Friends is like the ultimate, like you know, like when you finish the day and you get back to the hotel room, like when you're on the road.
Yeah,
it's like you throw that on and it's like, oh, it's like I'm right at home, you know.
You know what the TV networks do as well is they'll put it back to back without commercials, so like one episode will finish and the next one will start, and before you know it, Yeah. You're like four episodes deep and you're like, oh man.
Yep. And you're hooked in. Like they know how to, it's like they know how we're wired or something.
That's right. Okay. So let's, talk. So, you know, boy like me went number one, new song coming out from Aaron Goodvin in 2021. Are you waiting to 2022? What's happening?
Well, we've got a Christmas song that, we're definitely gonna service, and, it's called Jingle Bell Rock. You might have heard of it.
Oh, wow. No, man. No one's ever done that song before except that one guy.
I can't remember the last country actor. Yeah, I think Mike was it Blake? I don't know. We did look it up, but...
I feel like it might have been Blake. It might have also...
What was that? Sorry?
It might have been Blake. Might have been Brett Eldridge. You know, somebody
could
like that.
Could have been somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love how it turned out. It turned out really great. And, it's a lot of fun. I dig the Christmas thing. It wasn't something I was, like, super, like, looking forward to as, like, you know, being an artist and cutting Christmas songs. But you don't realize how much fun they are to go and play and until you record one. So
how did you get into the Christmas spirit in the studio in June? Did you decorate it?
That is the ultimate question. It really is. It's like... The timing of you, like, I feel like from now on, we need to go cut Christmas music at Christmas and then wait till the next year to put it out.
How come no one's thought of that? Like, that's genius right there.
It's so weird going in the studio and being like, okay, I'm wearing a pair of shorts, you know, you know, like it's literally 95 degrees outside. And you're like, you know, the equivalent of 35 in Canada or something, 40, like super hot.
And then Jingle Bell Rock.
And you go to the studio and you're like, all right, jingle bell, jingle bell. It just doesn't, you know, it's just so hard to, you know. I have to like turn the lights down and like maybe play a little Christmas song before I go in there just to get in the right frame of mind.
But, I would have made all my friends buy me presents and then tell them, well, I have to get in the Christmas spirit, so go. Right?
Yeah. So you guys all need to go buy me what I want.
That's right.
Yeah. 100%.
Did you get do you remember your first Christmas concert? Like, is that, I mean, I know a lot of artists sort of, that's one of their first memories of being on stage.
Yeah, there was a lot of that for me growing up. The thing that I go to is we used to put together this little Christmas group in St. Albert, where we would go and play. I mean, we'd play malls or we'd play whatever, and we'd just go in there and play a bunch of Christmas songs. So I remember doing that when I was younger. But I don't really remember anything other than that. But we used to play, like, you know, all the, I used to play Leroy the Redneck Reindeer all the time. And I remember playing back when I wore a cowboy hat, and I played the Grand Prairie Festival of Trees almost every year. And I would get in there and I would sing, you know, Leroy the Redneck Reindeer. Well, all these people are like dressed up and they're like looking at all these pretty trees. And I'm like, Leroy the Redneck Reindeer. Cause that was like my favorite Christmas song. So
awesome. Awesome. Why did you ditch the cowboy hat? You brought it up. I just, you know,
I think I just grew out of it. And it was one of those things that I think I wore because like Garth wore one when I was young. So it was like, oh, I got to wear a cowboy hat. Mm-hmm. And then as I like kind of, as it became more acceptable for the ball cap to be worn, I just felt like more, I felt like more of a, like a country guy rather than a cowboy, you know?
Yeah.
It took me a long time to realize that, probably longer than it should have. But I just remember being like, why am I wearing this? Like, I'm not comfortable in this, you know? I just kind of grew out of it, so.
Did you feel weird, and did anyone comment on it? Like, I know you probably, like, you had family and friends who went to a lot of your shows then. Did anyone actually be like, dude, where's your hat?
I don't really remember. I remember people, I sort of remember people getting it. They're like, oh, he sings country music, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he wears it. But, I mean, I'm sure there was times that, you know, there's people like, well, you wear that, man. You don't ride a horse or something. And I'd be like, because I sing country music? I don't know. I can't tell you. But.
And then, so you got Christmas song coming out. That must be really soon. And then 2022, then some new non-Christmas stuff from you?
Yeah, we've got, we're super excited. I believe the title track, the record Lucky Stars will be the next single. As we have shot a video for it, which premieres on Friday. We're excited about that. And
let me guess, your wife is in it?
She does make a cameo. Of course she does. The most exciting, I mean, she pretty much works for, you know, us. But we, what was I going to say? Oh, I'm super excited because my, one of my dogs made a cameo in this video. I was super pumped. Where we shot it was actually like 4 miles from my house. So the last part of the video. And I was like, great, we can bring my dogs. So we brought both our dogs, expecting both of them to make an appearance. But where we were, there was a cat at the place that we were shooting. So that means my dog is out of the equation because my dog is chasing that cat wherever that cat goes. So literally, we lost her a bunch of times. And then by the time we got the final cut, there's like, well, we didn't really get any good footage to tell you. But of course, my wife's dog, Olive, is just like, yeah, where do you want me? You know, if you want me here, you want me to be smiling, you want me. She's just total rock star. Yeah. Superstar dog. So
it doesn't even care about the cat. It's like, whatever. I'm a star.
No, not at all. And mine's gone. mine's chasing that thing wherever it is.
We got to go watch Friends. Aaron, I'm lucky to have you as a friend, and I love the new music. I can't wait for Jingle Bell Rock. Can't wait to hear your stamp on it. It'll be 2 minutes and 10 seconds of pure Christmas joy. I am sure. I have no idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Usually most of those Jingle Bell Rock songs come in around 2 minutes. I'm just assuming, you know.
Yeah. No. You're. I think you're right. It's definitely not very long for sure.
Aaron, thank you very much. And again, congratulations on Boy Like Me making it number one, your second one. And there's a lot more coming, I am sure.
I have you to thank, my friend. Thanks for playing it. And, anytime you want to chat again, you just let me know.
This has been the Country Confidential Podcast. If you love the show, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Have something you've always wanted to know about an artist or country music in general? Send Shiloh a note on Facebook. Join us next time for more confidential information about the best music on the planet and the people who make it.